time for our Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, right between Fiddlehead and Brahma Grill. Eric Meehan joins us in studio. Good day, sir.
Hello. Hello. It's nice to be back in studio.
Good to have you here. We survived the most recent storm of the century. Now spring is here.
It's here.
Like it, that.
Poof-ish. It's hard. Boy, it's really hard. We were just talking about kids. When your kids constantly remind you of the fact that, yes, it's spring, but like it's still snowy and awful. And you're just like, I don't know what to tell you. Daddy moved to Maine.
But now you got a truck, so you are now a true Mainer.
Right. Well, with the tarp and the bean boots, I think I'm good to go.
You're in.
And it's fantastic.
No one will even check your ID anymore.
No, I figure. And I'm good to go. I've got the road sodas all lined up. That's how you do, right?
That's right, yes.
Any police officers listening?
Hey, just kidding. Just kidding. Because we're drinking wine from a box today.
That's exactly. Why would I bring beer when I can bring wine? That's not what I meant either. So for anybody keeping track, we've been talking about how wine gets to you all month. And it's kind of something that we don't think about until you're actually in a store confronted with all the various ways now that there are to purchase wine. And as Rich mentioned, we're talking about wine in a box today. Obviously, wine in a box carries with it more of a stigma than things like screw caps and things. You thought it was bad when the first wine salesman ever handed you something with a screw cap. Try to convince people to buy a box of wine. It's very difficult. I understand why. I mean, even just yesterday or the day before, I saw this article on arsenic and other nasty bits that are found in really, really cheaply made wines. And one of the first things they had up there was, a box of Franzia and stuff like that. And yeah, folks, that stuff is disgusting. And you don't need me to tell you that. But boxes and sort of how they came about is very interesting. So let's go back to the old world and understand that in most wine producing regions, in every village, there was a local co-op. There was a place where, a lot of people have vineyards that don't make wine themselves. So they or somebody in their stead would go and gather the grapes and go and give it to the local co-op. Maybe the local co-op would even farm the vineyards for them and then dump everything in a big vat and basically make a big co-op local wine. And if any of you have ever been to Europe and have come back to me and said, oh, it's great, you can get a jug of wine for €1 and stuff, like, I know exactly, you can. And that's where this tradition comes from. The French call it en vrac, and it's basically in bulk. And there's stores you can go into and you can either bring your own container, or they have containers obviously for you. And it's really charming, it's wonderful, it's a great way to just have wine as an everyday part of your life. And it's something that really just doesn't exist up here in places like Maine. And I get that. However, next week we will be talking about actually some of the new interesting things and how they sell wine in bulk, including kegging wine, which is a new phenomenon. But for today, we're going to talk about a way of buying wine in bulk that is accessible to Americans. And that is, of course, boxes. Now, why is this sort of an obvious trend and yet a difficult trend? Well, producing glass is super expensive. You need very high temperatures. You need a lot of facility maintenance. You need all sorts of things to produce glass. And once it's produced, of course, it's very, very heavy. And that's before it even gets filled with liquid. So you've got to get that very heavy glass to the winery. The winery will fill it up. And then, of course, you have to transport it anywhere in the world that it happens to be going. That is a tremendously expensive thing. As a guy who put his back out last week and today lifted up one of these cases of California wines where every bottle is at least 10 pounds just to prove how good a wine it is. Man, it's really ludicrous. And you see a trend even in less expensive wines going for more expensive and heavier glass as if to prove something. And it's definitely a visual and sensual phenomenon that doesn't necessarily have anything to do at all with the quality of the wine. Now, what happened to me, this was, I took a trip to France in 2014. It was really wonderful. And I noticed a couple things. And finally, in Beaujolais, I said to the winemaker, I said, what is that? And I pointed over to this nondescript white box. And he said, that's my Beaujolais. And I said, that's great. It's a box of Beaujolais. He's like, yeah. Well, why don't you send that to America? And he said, Americans don't want it. I said, I'm American. I want it. I want this. I want your good wine in a box. And he was like, no, really. I mean, I've offered it to, the importers and whatever. They're really not interested. And I understand that. Folks come in and they see boxes of wine and they think Franzia. They think Almaden and stuff like that. But let me talk to you about why boxes are great. And it's not just the weight, although that is huge. It's an enormous part of it. It reduces the costs. You know, it at least takes a third of the cost off right there when you're reducing that kind of weight. And also, you are able to fit much more liquid per square inch. Other cool things about boxes. There's no light that gets into them, so you're not risking any UV damage or anything like that. And even in very dark wine bottles, it's still a thing. It's if there's any translucency whatsoever, you're getting light in there. This doesn't allow that. It also prevents oxidization. The bags in them collapse in on themselves, so it's not like you're going to, you know, half empty these 3 and 5 liter boxes and just completely oxidize the wine. The wine will stay good. So it's a very, very good thing for that. And of course, it's super convenient because you can take it on camping trips and things like that. And there's no glass to break, which is super awesome. Now, the wine we're drinking today is a wine that I've worked with for years. It's a Tempranillo from the Navarra region of Spain. I've been to this winery and I was super happy when this product became available to me. It's just a wonderful medium-bodied everyday wine. It's like $20 on the shelf, and that's 4 bottles worth for $20 bucks of a wine that would be $10 in a bottle. And I mean, I don't know what better selling point beyond also the fact that it doesn't spoil and no one gets in it and all that sort of stuff.
Then it's a very good wine.
And it's a very good wine. It really is. And so, folks, there's really a lot of nice stuff available to you. We have Rieslings and Chardonnays from Washington State, as well as some red blends. We have a wonderful little Cote Drone that we're doing for our wine club. We have, again, this Tempranillo. And hopefully more and more we can convince people like my friend in the Beaujolais region that Americans do want this sort of thing. It's very, very important, especially for our planet and also, frankly, for your palate. If you like good-tasting fresh wine, this is a way to encourage that. And really, the only way that you can damage this is temperature. And that leads me really quickly to the fact that, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, that shipping containers coming from Europe and Australia and everywhere else really need to be refrigerated. And that's really what's going to guarantee, either in bottle or in can or in box, that that wine arrives to you beautifully. So make sure that you're not buying a boxed wine from somewhere that's 80 degrees, 90 degrees in the store. Still keep your priorities as far as the handling of a wine. But just to understand that you have the added assurances that do come with that box. So next week, like I said, we're going to be talking cans and other new innovations, including wine on tap. And then in April, we're going to be talking about cooking with booze, which is always a fun, fun topic. And we've already passed our tasting for this month, but we do have a lot of interesting and exciting events coming up, including a dinner with our good friend Bob Cutler at Novio's, a Thomas Jefferson birthday dinner, which is actually going to be, and I encourage you all to take this the right way, the challenging way. This is going to be a vegetarian and gluten-free dinner, but the chef is fantastic and absolutely knows what he's doing. And the wines are going to be from the Barbersville Vineyards in Virginia. So check that out. They're going to be really cool. We tried the Viognier online, or on the radio, rather, if you recall that.
Yes.
And then, of course, we'll have tastings and other good stuff coming up. So, yeah. Let's drink. Let's see how this is.
This is outstanding.
We need the final arbitration.
I think this is wonderful. And that's good. I would have no idea.
It's funny, actually. A lot of folks try to convince restaurants to do this, and that is the sort of the final push is, you know, if you can actually get people drinking, you know, this by the glass, you can charge them a nice fee, but not too much. You could put, you know, glass pours of this for $3 and still make your money back. Something to think about for all you restaurateurs out there.
There you go.
Thanks, gentlemen. See you next week.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese, Message in the Bottle, every single Tuesday here on the program.